call this special meeting of Amherstburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, brings us to 3.1. The amendment for the breweries and agricultural areas. So we already discussed it, so I don't think, Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Milosh, is there any questions on the recommendation? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried, 3.2.
Sorry, Dwayne.
The bylaw amendment for Crystal Bay Drive. Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Milosh, any questions on this item? Councilor Puget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is there anything from the public regarding this matter?
Did you receive anything from the public?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did not receive any comments from the public yet.
Okay.
Today.
And then I will go to the public for comments.
My name's Terry Murphy, but I'm actually going to buy the property we're talking about.
Okay.
But I just had a couple of questions concerning the H designation. I was just curious how that would impact our current plans to renovate the existing cottage on the land and the possibility of doing a garage. I don't know how that will be impacted by the holding designation.
Rebecca?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With a holding symbol, there would be no ability to build a garage at this time. However, the intent is that interior renovations could occur, and anything within the existing footprint could occur. But if Mr. Hermiston would like to build a garage or his future house, he will have to go and get an authorization from the Ministry of Natural Resources under the Endangered Species Act first.
And then my only follow-up would be whether or not a deck would be something that would be considered a development activity requiring ministry approval. A deck off the existing property.
You'll have to check with MNR regarding that.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilor Puget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, did MNR have concerns about this area regarding the Endangered Species Act? Are you aware of it?
All of Boblo Island is a concern, yes.
Okay. So my next question is, in the last month, and I went over there yesterday and took pictures, it appears that a large amount of vegetation was removed, including trees, shrubs, a hedgerow, it looks like a hedgerow. And did they require permission from MNR to do that before they completed this task? I understand from the neighbors that it was done over a 2-day period.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I was not aware of that until right now, this evening.
I was on the property for a 2-day period, but it was only to remove a tree that had fallen down. A large tree had fallen on the property, so we cut it
and fallen across the driveway. So
right.
Other than that, there's been nothing. I'm the owner of the property. I cut the grass. That's all I did. There's been nothing touched over there. But to my knowledge, I'm not saying that we did something.
Because I'm well aware of their property. I've studied it intensely. I know it belonged to Mrs. Tressas beforehand. And I'm aware of all the history regarding this property. And I know that after visiting it on many sites, I never went on the property myself, just from viewing it from the road. There was a lot of vegetation, even going back as late as last August or September.
Amico did clear out a brush road along, it's on their property though, it's not on my property.
And, but along the front, also there was a lot of vegetation that you could barely even see the house from the road.
From the road? Yes. The same thing, they thinned that all up, just the dead stuff came out of there, all the trees that were there are still there.
And did they get permission from MNR to do
that? I have no idea what they did. That's not really my property. That would be town property, actually.
Could we just get your name for the record, sir?
Stephen Holm.
Stephen Holm. Councilor Puget?
I have a real concern about this because I know that, you know, we are obligated to follow rules of M&R just like everybody else, and I wonder if we could send a report to them asking if they gave permission or if they're aware of the fact that this property was, you know, the trees, he's saying a tree, but we're saying they must have been to this property beforehand to investigate and to find that there were indeed endangered species on the property that they speak about in this report. So I'm just asking this council, well, I'll wait for Mr. Pooh to speak, but I'll then make a motion.
Okay.
I understand that all the reports that were needed over there from M&R and everything have been passed and cleared through the town already. As for the bushes and the trees in the front, there's been nothing changed over there. In my law of knowledge for the past 5 years. The property joint to me on the Amico side, he did clear that out with that third property down there.
Mr. Pruitt?
Microphone?
Is it not on?
No.
Oh, okay. So, but what I'm here, because I think the council needs to be very careful with what you're doing today. And I say that going back to my own experience, which you all know. First of all, there are four properties there. There's one property in question, but there are three other properties, if I'm not mistaken, are all recreation zoned. All four of them are recreation zoned. Now, I wasn't here when that zoning was put in place, so there are any number of reasons that that could be the case. But the traditional one is to allow for people who live on the interior to have water access. And you can go through any number of cottage country places where you have cottages on the water, and then cottages behind, and then cottages behind those, if you go to Wasega Beach as an example. And about every eighth property is water access on the front so that the people who are on the interior can gain access to the water. I would think that is more than likely the reason why this property and the three adjoining properties were originally made into recreation as opposed to residential, because the entire rest of the north end of the island, all of the properties on the water have been sold. So they don't all have houses, but they've all been sold. And they're there, so someday there will be houses on them. But these three or four have been left for recreational purposes, probably to benefit not only the residents in the interior, but also to benefit the animals that need to get access to the water. Now, it's been said, are there endangered species? There are, in fact, 13 endangered species on the island. And there are 8 or 10 at-risk species as well. And some of them are plants, and they're not going to get up and walk anywhere. But the best-known animals are the fox snake, the blindless turtle, the snapping turtle, and all of them would make use of that water access. And that was the only clear water access that there is. Now, by lifting the zone, council in it has a perfect right to lift it and let M&R make the decision. Or council can say, we would like to look at why these properties were made recreational in the first place. If they were made recreational in order to help the flora and fauna, mostly the fauna, and if they were made recreational in order to make available to all of those interior houses on Crystal Bay Drive and Gold Coast an opportunity to enjoy the recreational area, then council should take a good, long, hard look before sending it off to M&R and letting them make the decision. Because the M&R will, if they say it's permissible, I mean, what's council going to do then? And I don't blame Mr. Lang at all. I mean, he's gone through a real process. He had to go to the Committee of Adjustment a number of years ago. I understand a hefty amount of money was spent getting just that little tiny bit of access from the developer.
$50,000.
$50,000, that's the rumor around Buffalo Island anyway. It's just been confirmed, $50,000, so that he could actually gain access to his property.
Well, Norman blocked that off. Now, there are maps in the old Malvern that show those all as residentials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the change came.
I don't know either. I wasn't here then. I'm just saying that's the way they usually were done. And
as for access, I don't want people walking on my property, thanks. They can walk on somebody else's.
If council deems to allow this, you should take a very strong look. And I know this may be difficult for the other properties, which I believe are mostly owned by Mr. Amicone, if not totally owned by Mr. Amicone, because there will be pressure on council to do exactly the same thing. There will be pressure from him to say, you've already said this can be an R1A zone, why can't my property be R1A? And so I'm just advising that that may happen. If the town moves it from recreation to R1A, of course, there would be a small benefit to the town in terms of increased taxation, a large benefit to the property owners, because the value of the property would go up enormously once it's zoned R1A, because you know very large houses can be built there, just the same as the rest of Buffalo Island. But the value to the town would be quite negligible, actually. The taxes would go up for those couple of properties. There might be some development fees, but in the long term, that is not what makes a town prosperous. What makes a town prosperous is industrial commercial development, not residential. And so I asked you to think long and hard before you take away the rights or potential rights of in internal homeowners, and before you put at risk those 13 endangered species and 8 at-risk species, that many of which, you know, live on that particular parcel of land. See them all the time, fox snakes, Lanning's turtles, and snapping turtles along the water's edge. I leave it to you. I'm not saying that I'm for or against, but I think the council needs to be very cautious.
Rebecca?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to provide some comments in response to what was just stated. It wasn't that the property, that these lots were ever zoned to recreational. It's that they've never been rezoned to something else. These lots were historically owned by the Tresness family and by family members of the Tresness family. And so they weren't owned by Mr. Oram. And so this is a carryover from Buffalo Island. And this is all that's left that's never been rezoned and that what's left recreational from the old Buffalo days. And in fact, the reason why the R1A zone with the holding symbol is proposed tonight, as opposed to the RR zone, which the rest of the island is because the rest of the island is owned by Mr. Amicone, and all of those lots, actually the RR zone has no setbacks associated with it in the zoning bylaw, and everyone is bound to very specific restrictive covenants, but in our zoning bylaw, they have no actual setbacks. And when Mr. Hermiston, right now Mr. Lang, and in the future Mr. Hermiston go to build on the property, in the zoning bylaw, the RR zone has no setbacks associated with it, but our R1A zone will provide proper setbacks for building some structures on the property in keeping with the rest of the town. So the R1A zone is necessary as opposed to the RR zone, and it's because it's unique. And Mr. Lang right now and Mr. Hermiston in the future will not be subject to those restrictive covenants because they're not part of Mr. Amicone's development agreements and restrictive covenants. That's why the R1A zone is suggested as the appropriate zone for them on the island.
Councilor Malash?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for clarification, There's a cottage on the property, is that?
There's a cottage on the property, I've maintained for 20 years, the grass is cut weekly. I mean, there might be a snake passes by, there may be a turtle.
No, I guess where I'm going, okay, there's a cottage on the property, it's a residential, it's a residential.
It is a residential.
Property, but it's for its own recreational. I'm talking Rebecca this one, so.
Yes, there is a cottage.
So legally, you know, it conformed as far as a residential property, but it's on a zone recreational property. So am I getting that correct by saying that?
The whole island historically was zoned recreational, Bottle of Island, and so the cottage is still legal non-conforming.
What?
Yes.
But legally, over the years, they've allowed residential habitation.
That's correct, yes.
Recreational property, I guess I'll say it that way.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the only clarification I'd like.
Councilor Pucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just further to the conversation, actually, the trusses only own one property. They actually leased the Owl Cottage, and then once Mr. Oram purchased it, he destroyed that cottage. The property that they own right now, the four properties were owned by Monahans, and I believe his last name was Fritz. I have my notes someplace, but can't find them. And he suffered a stroke. He lived next door to the trusses that were renting the Owl Cottage. He suffered a stroke, and he was disabled on one side of his body, and on that same property that you own, he caught fire to himself when he was burning leaves, and his dog, that was very protective, wouldn't allow anybody near him to put out the fire, and as a result, he died of that fire. So, to say that they owned all the property, no, they didn't. They only rented the Owl property, and then they purchased the property next to it, which was owned by Mr. Edgar Fritz or whatever.
The Owl Cottage was owned by Amico as of now. That's the
yes.
Property adjoining mine. The Trustness has owned the property I'm on and the other one with the other Owl. They had sold part of it off to their niece and nephew, which are in a terrible feud, won't sell it. But anyways, like I say, that property's been maintained by myself for 20 years. While she was alive and after she's been dead. As for access for people from the inside of the island, I don't see that ever happening. I don't think their properties are being sold with access, water access. And if it is, the immigrant will come up and come up with his own. These are private lots.
Councilor Levine?
Thank you. Three to Rebecca. So when the island switched hands from amusement park to development, and it was rezoned, the only reason these were left out, you're saying, is because they were privately owned by someone other than the company that owned the entire island at the time?
Yes, that's correct. Dorothy Trustness and...
If these lots were also included in that original package, you're suggesting that it would have been already done at that time?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
And also, since I've been here, I was contacted by Doris Gaffey as well, which is my understanding, a niece or a family friend of the Trustness family as well.
That's a niece, yes.
Councilor Pucci?
I think everyone's done speaking. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
A motion to defer the recommendation until council is provided with a full report regarding the intent of the recreational lots, and to request a report from MNR regarding their advice and direction to this request.
Okay, I'm sorry, the motion was already moved, as stated and seconded, so we would have to dispose of that motion first before I could entertain any other ones. So, on the motion as moved, is there any other questions? Okay, Councilor Levine?
Will we not be getting any correspondence from MNR once this moves forward? Is that the... Or do we need to?
Rebecca, what's been your experience with MNR?
Well, I have been in a lot of consultation with them and are throughout, and they had recommended the holding symbol, but I can come back with further information.
M&R recommended this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, and IRCA did as well. Like, I've been in contact with them throughout this whole process.
Okay. The motion as stated. All those in favor? Carried. That brings us to adjournment. Motion to adjourn. Councillor Melage, second. Councillor Levine, all those in favor? Carried.